Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Have a great show!
Guess what today is? Hump Day!
Woo-hoo! That's right. It is a Wednesday. We're halfway through the week, man. We're getting there, and it's nice out. Dude, I took Frankie for a walk today. It was 45 degrees.
Would you just hold on for one doggone second?
What's wrong with you?
I got the heater on in the dojo, and I don't need it because it's 53 degrees in beautiful downtown Canton, Ohio.
I see. Do you have a screen door open? Is that what I see in the background?
They rearranged
the
dojo. This is the summertime dojo. Don't you tell the difference? Can't you
summertime.
See?
Summertime dojo in February.
Yeah, in
so
other words,
one day and you've
yeah,
already
we
set
got
it
rid
up.
Of all the furniture. That's what happened.
Oh, gosh. So here's how my morning started today. You ready for this? I get up this morning around 8 o'clock. And Frankie, I told you, I bought Frankie some beds, right? You know, those dog beds. I bought two of them. And I put him on top of each other, so it makes it a little more comfortable for him. And that'll keep him off, you know, our bed. Well, good thing I did that, because I wake up this morning, and I get out of bed, and I look around, and had the, you know, the curtains drawn, so it's still a little dark in there. And I don't see Frankie. He either sleeps in the bathroom on the cool floor, right by the bottom of my bed on my side, on his bed. Those are the three places, you know, that he'll sleep, right? So I get up. He's not there. I look in the bathroom. He's not there. I look at his bed. He's not there. And I look around the corner, and he's on the other side of the bed sleeping by the window. And I'm wondering, I wonder why. So I open up the curtains just a little bit. He dropped a little turd in the middle of his bed last night for
some
reason.
Who does he think he is? Does he think he's Sam Rinaldi's dog that came to the radio station yesterday?
And that's what,
left
that's what I thought.
Left a calling card right by Pam Cook's chair. We didn't tell her about it?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, and he never does that, right? I don't know if, was he having a dream and he thought he was outside and he turned no water. But it was just one little turd.
Oh, yeah,
he dropped
happens.
One little turd in the middle of the bed. And the dog's smart. He didn't sleep on it, right? He left it there and went and slept on
smart.
The floor. So I had to get up, clean it. Then I get what the Bissell vacuum thing, right? The scrubber. Get the Bissell scrubber out. And I, you know, spray it and scrub it. Now it's, you know, over here drying and everything
That's
like that.
That's the problem with that thing. It's more work than it's worth. If you use the Bissell vacuum and you turn me on to that thing, and we haven't used it in months because once the dog truly gets potty trained, he doesn't go to the bathroom inside any longer. But every time you use that darn Bissell, it takes longer to clean it than it did to use it.
Yeah, the thing for me, I don't mind the length. As I have a, and Brittany knows this about me, smells. I have a strong sense of smell, man, and I can't stand the smell of pee or poop when it comes to dogs and cats, right? So it's a big no-no for me. So I got up immediately, man. I'm like, clean that, throw it in the flush down the toilet, get the Bissell out, scrub that sucker twice, not once, but twice. Make sure it's nice and clean, leave the bed drying and everything. And so I figured, you know what, I probably should take Frankie out because maybe that was a little sign that he had to go. Sure enough, dude, took him out, and it was nice, though. That was the great thing. You get up, and it's 45 degrees out at 8 in the morning. And I walk him down the street. It took maybe 20 seconds before he decided to drop the rest of the load outside, thank goodness. So he did his business out there, and I don't know. Maybe it was my fault. Last night I didn't take him out, you know, before we went to bed, and I should have. I didn't get any signals from him. You ever get this, you know, what does Lucy do when she has to do her business
she
outside?
She comes right to the door. We know it's time to go outside. Done.
Okay. And we have the bell still on the door for Frankie. Mm-hmm. But if it's late and you're in bed, you're not sure, you know what he does?
Mm-hmm.
He'll come up and he'll take his right paw and he'll climb halfway up on the bed and he just slaps me in the face with his right paw. And he didn't do that
last night. That's no different than what I do when I want you to shut up. Take that, Rhoda. Shut up.
So he didn't do that last night. So I'm trying to – is it my fault or was it just one of those things? Did he have a dream that he was pooping outside?
I don't know what it was. It's embarrassment is what it is. He wants you to clean it, doesn't want you to know that he did it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So I that's what I woke up to today. Nice little turd in the middle of his bed. Had to clean that up. That was good morning, Kenny, and welcome to February 24th. And now he's barking up a storm in the background.
Talk about you got a big smeller. Try walking through life with a hook like I got on the front of my face. Lebanese nose. Man, I'm like Toucan Sam walking through the entire lifetime of my 58 years here on this earth. You got smeller.
Does that increase your sense of smell, Absolutely. The size of that honker?
You don't have a nose this size and not be able to smell things from a mile away. Are you kidding me? It's like an extra sense. Like a dog. They use me at the kid. You know the canine police, you know why they hire me? They want to put me out on a mission. I'm going to go sniff out some drugs somewhere. I can smell it from a mile away.
You're on a stakeout. Hey, JT, go smell that room over there. Let us know if there's any wacky tobacco being used.
You've seen these canine dogs. They know what's up. They smell everything out. I can smell a crime a mile away.
So if you were a superhero, would you be Smell Man?
Absolutely.
Is that what you would be?
That's right.
That would be your superpower. You could smell things a mile away.
There isn't a cape known to mankind that could cover this schnoz.
Oh, my. So that was the way my day started.
Wonderful.
So it's gotten better, though, you know, as the weather's warmed up even more from when it was 45
nice.
In the morning. And it's a Wednesday, and we've got a great show lined up for everybody today. Jason Lloyd, one of my favorite writers in Cleveland, works for The Athletic, was involved with the founding of The Athletic. If you've never seen any of their articles or you don't subscribe, go check them out. Great writing. Through all the different sports and all the different cities. Jason Lloyd wrote an article, JT, on, and we're going to open up the phone lines to our listeners today at 330-450-1480 on this. He wrote an article about the three owners in town.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Gilbert of the Cavs, Jimmy Haslam of the Browns, and Paul Dolan right now of the Cleveland Indians. And the basis of the article is, well, who's the best owner in town right now? Is it still Dan Gilbert because he led the team to an NBA championship, or should I rephrase it? Is it still Dan Gilbert who, when he had LeBron James, the two of them led the Cavaliers to an NBA championship? Is it Paul Dolan of the Indians, even though they're going to have the second lowest payroll this year in Major League Baseball? Because, you know, you look at the winning percentage under their ownership, it's better than that of the Cavs or the Browns during that time. Or is it Jimmy Haslam, who it just took him a while to get it right, and he realizes he needs to stay out of the limelight, hire the right people, and now they're in a good position to be the best team in Cleveland. What about you? Who do you think the best owner is in town right now?
Well, it takes you back to, you remember a couple of years ago, and I forget who it was, but they referred to somebody in the Cleveland Browns organization as Larry Curley and Moe.
Yes.
You remember that? This is going back, what, 5-6 years ago, maybe even longer? But that's what comes to mind when you start thinking about the three owners of the Cleveland sports franchises. And if it's not Larry, Curley, and Moe, with the exception of when LeBron decided to come back, okay?
Right.
So let's
not
give anybody credit but LeBron James for coming back, okay, first of all.
All right.
Larry, Curley, and Moe are dumb, dumber, and dumbest. Take your pick.
Where are you?
Well, I mean, it's like you said. I mean, right out of the gate, if you want to consider the way things are going right now, you've got to put, and I can't believe we're going to say this, you're going to put the Haslams at the top of the pecking order. Because right now, they're
because
the only
one
ones that
season?
Look like they know what the hell they're doing. Yes!
But
that's how bad
season.
Things are. Yes,
so one
season.
Season makes them the best ownership in town.
Well, okay. Well, are we going to trade Andre Drummond, or are we going to keep him? Let's just give him $28 million. How smart is that?
Yeah,
We got Frankie Lindor, but they can sign Tatis till 2035, pay him 24 point whatever a million a year. We can't afford Frankie Lindor. How smart is that?
Okay. But, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here with you, and this is why we want the fans to weigh in on this. The Indians have made it to a World Series under the Dolan's ownership. The Haslams have won one playoff game. The Indians have the most wins over the last 6 years in the regular season in all of Major League Baseball.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
I'm just giving you what they would give you.
Go ahead and drink the punch. You also had the face of the franchise, if not the entire major leagues, and a kid that would basically sell tickets to a stadium when you were getting to those playoffs that they had a hard time selling out the regular season. So now you trade away the face of the franchise, maybe the face of Major League Baseball. You trade him away. What's your selling point there, Mr. Dolan?
You know what the
Don't tell me the past. Don't tell me the winning record over the last five, six seasons because I'm not buying it now because I don't know who your starting shortstop's going to be.
Here's why you should come see us. We've got the American League Cy Young Award winner in Shane Bieber, and we've got the runner-up in the American League for MVP.
Okay.
That was not Francisco Lindor last year. That was Jose Ramirez. So we've got arguably the second-best player in the American League position-wise, and we've got the best pitcher in the American League.
Okay.
And on those two guys, that's our foundation, and we are going to contend this year. Based on those two guys, come see us play at Progressive Field.
Mr. Dolan, excuse me for asking, but doesn't that Cy Young winner only play once every 5 days?
Yes.
How am I supposed to buy a season ticket package to watch a guy that doesn't play every day?
Here's what you need to do. These season ticket packages are so flexible that you can space them out throughout the entire year.
Can I get Thursdays?
And
can I get the hot dog night?
We might even let you adjust your package throughout the year so you can come see Shane Bieber pitch. Just buy a ticket every fifth day at home, and maybe you'll get lucky to see Shane Bieber every fifth day there.
It's not so far off base, though, is it? You're going to have to get creative, aren't you? It's more than just hot dog day. We used to go as kids. We wanted to go for baseball bat night. We wanted to go for helmet night. We wanted to go for those mini helmets. Remember they would put the Sundays in them. You would eat the ice cream out of them.
Absolutely.
All those things, man.
Yes.
It's marketing.
Think about this. The Dolans were told, and they're waiting for official word on this from the governor, right? 30% of capacity possibly for Jacobs Field, Progressive Field, right? So that's about 10,500 fans. So,
which is more than a Sunday afternoon game.
In April, yes, absolutely. So here's my thinking, though. But because of the pandemic, might it work to their advantage?
I know you could.
Because people are so willing to just go somewhere and get out of their home that, you know what? I don't care if they're good, if they're bad. I'm getting the hell out of the house. I'm buying tickets to go see the Indians. I'm sitting outside. It's going to be socially distanced. I'll wear my mask. It'll be safe. We're going. And maybe they sell out every game at 10,500
tickets. It could happen because when all the seats were available, 10,000 people didn't want them sometimes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
It could be. I mean, listen, if there's a chance to go, I assure you I would buy a ticket and go to a game.
Okay.
I would. If it was a nice day out and, you know, I'm stir crazy, sitting at home, being in the dojo, doing things around the house gets old, man, and you're watching these games. I've been watching basketball games on the weekends, wherever, whatever conference it is, down in the South. And they're not packing these arenas, but they're putting quite a few fans in the seats. And it makes me wonder, what are they doing differently than we're doing? And as things are starting to lighten up here and we're seeing the numbers go better, hell, 2 weeks ago we were still under a curfew at 10 o'clock. That's gone. So things are starting to lighten up. Maybe we're getting a handle on this. Maybe those shots are coming. And maybe we'll eventually create herd immunity and we'll get back to normal.
Yeah. So 30%, 10,000, hey, maybe that'll be good for the Indians as they're able to, and they don't know yet when the tickets are going on sale. So we'll let everybody know when that becomes official so you can get your Indians tickets if you want to get the hell out of the house or you're a diehard Tribe fan, you want to go see them. And if you are a diehard Tribe fan, Jim Rosenhaus joins us today at 5
that's
o'clock.
Right.
So that'll be great to talk to Rosie about spring training and everything that's going on there. But getting back to the ownership group, 330-450-1480, we're opening up the phone lines right now. Who's the best ownership group in town right now? Who is it? And Jason Lloyd from The Athletic going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. And the other thing that ties into that with the Indians, JT, is did you see the comments from Francisco Lindor in New York? Did you see what Frankie had to say? He had a big press conference, his first meeting with the media, and he answered all kind of questions. And someone asked him about last season with the Indians, and he made a very interesting comment that people in town, meaning Cleveland, media members in town are running with. And the headline basically is, did Lindor quit on the Indians last year? Because Frankie Lindor said, and I quote, I didn't give it my best in the weight room, and that showed the last week of the season. I got tired. That was Lindor talking about last year with the Indians.
All right.
So when you hear that, do you A, like that, respect that because he was honest, or B, do you say, damn, he did quit. He didn't put it all out there. He didn't leave it all out there for the team last year, and it affected them down the stretch and in the playoffs. And so maybe that's one of the reasons the Dolans didn't want to keep it.
What's the goal here? The goal is to get to the playoffs, make your way to another World Series, whether there was a pandemic or not. Now, you remember going into the season, it was a regular season as usual until the pandemic hit right about the end of spring training, right?
Yep.
If you're not in shape getting into spring training at that point in time, then he must have either stopped because there was a delay in the beginning of the regular season. I'm going to say that's not a true story. Contract situation. I'm going to say that's not a true story because of the fact that how many players do you know of that are playing for their next contract, whether they were going to re-sign him? They knew they were going to trade him. He had another year left on his contract. Do you think he was going to dog it, or don't you think he would have tried to be even better so he would have gotten that next big contract?
See, I don't know.
Well, hold on one second, because that's part of it. That's part of the way to think about this. The other thing is this. If he's telling the truth, then there are three things that are really, really wrong with this. He sets a bad example for the young guys. It's poor leadership, and it's horrible work ethic. Now, is that the kind of guy you want on your team? Because I don't.
But we hadn't seen this from him before. You know what I mean?
So why would you do it? And it wasn't a contract year, but for all intents and purposes, Kenny, it was a contract year.
Yeah, yeah. Was he not as motivated because of the pandemic, thinking they weren't going to have a season and play the full season?
Could be.
Was he not as motivated because there weren't fans in the stands?
Could be.
Mr. Smile, Mr. Energy, and there's no I don't know. I found it really unique, though, and interesting that he decided to bring that up. He wasn't forced into saying that, right? But he was being honest with the media, saying, look, yeah, I didn't hit the weights hard enough like I should have, and it affected me the last week of the season and into the playoffs.
By his standards, he had a bad year.
Right.
Absolutely. We know that. But he's not the only one on that team that had a bad year.
No.
Is it just a matter of making excuses because he's in a bigger market now and they expect the older Frankie Lindor versus what happened last year, and we use the excuse? And you're going to hear it a lot. You're going to hear it if the team can't put 10,000 fans. If they're allowed to and 10,000 fans don't show up, you're going to hear the excuse, well, it's still the pandemic. So you can always go back and you can lean on the fact that you can blame everything on the pandemic. Is this Frankie Lindor making excuses to the New York media saying, it'll get better? I know you might have reservations about me, but that is not who I was. That's not who I am. That's who I was last year.
So maybe that comes into play with no, I don't think it does. I think regardless of what he did, he could have won the MVP last year, and they still weren't going to be able to sign him and keep him, and they were going to trade him, right? Could have won the World Series, the MVP, and they weren't going to be able to keep him because reportedly now it's coming out that they offered him somewhere around $200 million.
Oh, geez.
Didn't say for how many years, and I find it interesting that on the heels of this, him saying, you know, maybe I didn't work as hard as I should have last year in the weight room. Then all of a sudden this number comes out to make the Indians look good, saying, hey, we offered him $200 million.
Frankie,
for how many years?
Frankie Lindor can say what he wants to say, and he can tell you that he doesn't like being in New York City, but it was apparent to me that during the All-Star game in 2019 when he was on the national spotlight, you remember they had that parade before the All-Star game? You remember the parade?
Yes.
We were there.
Yeah. Yes.
They put him on the red carpet, and he was dressed like a New York City model, man. And he was sucking it up, man. This is totally different than what you're seeing in Pittsburgh, as Ben Roethlisberger yesterday met with their owners and saying, basically, I'm willing to take a pay cut. I want to stay here. My point being, you weren't going to get a hometown discount from a Frankie Lindor.
Well, the only reason Ben's willing to give them a hometown discount is he already made his money. Frankie hasn't. He's in the prime of his career. He was betting on himself that, okay, I'm going to wait it out, take less, because I know when I hit free agency, man, I'm going to cash in that $300 million range. And so there was no way he was going to give them a discount. And the Indians said, we offered him $200 million. That wasn't enough.
Discount, in the simple phrase, in the term of the phrase, is the fact that, yeah, I understand what you're saying by discount. But discount could have also been, I'll take payments into the 2030s, like Tatis did. That's a discount as well. I'm going to give you a hometown discount, meaning you don't have to pay me up front and pay me everything every year. Back end this thing, and I'll stay here for 20 years. That's all he had to do. My point is,
agents want the money now, though. They don't want it down the road. They want it now.
And why did Tatis's agent do that? Why did they settle on this?
Don't know. Some people are saying that wasn't a good enough deal for him.
No,
there are some people saying that.
It was the player, though. The player wanted to stay in San Diego. I've seen the interviews. I've never heard Frankie Lindor speak the way Tatis did about staying in San Diego even after this thing expires, his new contract extension.
Right, yeah. Well, we'll see how it plays out, because the Padres are considered a small market in Major League Baseball terms, but they're not. It's one of the top 10 cities in the United States, but their ownership group, and I wrote it down, JT, you ready for this?
Yeah.
The Padres owner, Peter Seidler, I believe is how you pronounce it. Nothing we can't do.
Well, there you go.
That's what he said. There's nothing we can't do. That's a little bit different than enjoy him and we'll see what happens, right?
Hey, we know these guys are billionaires. There isn't anything they can't do when they put their mind to it. That's how they got to be billionaires. Spend the money or get out.
Yeah, that's it. Let's open up the phone line. Let's get a break in. We'll open up the phone lines, 330-450-1480. The ownership group's in town. Dan Gilbert and the Cavaliers won an NBA championship back in 2016. They stink right now, even though they snapped the 10-game losing streak last night. And we'll get into that in a second. You've got the Cleveland Browns. They've stunk since they've been back in 1999, except for this past season when they made the playoffs for only the second time since 1999. The Haslams, where do they rate? And then, of course, you've got the Dolans, and they've had playoff teams, they've had above 500 teams, they've had World Series teams, they've had a World Series team come within, maybe three outs of winning a World Series. So are they considered the best group, even though they're going to have the second lowest payroll in all of baseball?
Does that make them the most successful organization, even though the Cavaliers were in the finals and won a championship, but now are one of the worst teams in all of basketball? Does that make them worse than the Cavaliers?
Well, what defines and makes a good owner? That's what we should ask our listeners today. You tell us, okay? You're the fans out there. You're the ones listening to the games here on WHBC, because we carry the Indians, the Cavs, the Browns, the Buckeyes, all right? You're the fans. You buy the tickets if you want to see them in person, and you go up to Cleveland and you watch the games, right? So you tell us, what in your mind as a fan, what defines or makes a good professional sports owner? That's what we want to hear from you today. 330-450-1480. That's the number to join us here on the Kenny and JT Show. And like we said, Jason Lloyd from The Athletic coming up today at 4 o'clock. Jim Rosenhaus at 5 o'clock. We'll sprinkle the infield at 5:30. And then we have high school hoops for you later on tonight. We've got Lake at Hoover in a tournament game. Should be a great matchup tonight. You'll hear that with Dan Belford. Good. Denny Kincaid calling the action for you. We're going to jam all this in between now, and we turn it over to Brian Novak for the pregame show at 6:30 and that 7 o'clock tip-off. Plus, we didn't forget about Tiger Woods and that horrible accident he was in yesterday. We'll talk about his surgeries and what lies ahead for Tiger Woods. And like I said, Cavaliers snapped the 10-game losing streak last night. That's the good news. The bad news, nobody on the team made the All-Star team. But you know what? That's probably – don't you think that's accurate, JT? Nobody really deserved to make it from the Cavs, did they?
Not the way things have ended up towards the end of the first half. Plus, they're announcing the second half schedule, which is going to be really unique to figure out whether or not it's based on the way you played during the first half of the season. And if that's the case, maybe they wanted to tank to ease up the second half. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, so we'll let you know who did make the All-Star teams from the East and the West. No Cavaliers at this point unless like eight people get hurt. Then maybe somebody from the Cavaliers would make the All-Star team in the East. Again, 330-450-1480. A lot to talk about today. That's why we're inviting you right now to join us and you tell us what defines or makes a good professional sports owner and who's the best in Cleveland.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.